Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your patience tonight as we get started a little late. I will ask that we all rise for the pledge to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. If we call roll, please.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Ms. Francis Smith. Ms. Kwiatek.
Present.
Ms. Laird.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Cologne.
Present. Thank you. Just a couple things before we get started. Councilwoman Francis Smith should be joining us momentarily. We previously had a committee of the whole meeting, which ran late, so we're just getting started a little bit. And getting back in the room after a brief recess. Mayor Reynolds had a commitment tonight at Freedom High School, so Mayor Reynolds will not be joining us this evening. Continuing on, we do have a few citations for recent city employees who retired. That includes Sergeant Chad Wasserman, Joseph D'Ambrosio, Robert Zakos, and Matt Werner. I don't believe any of those individuals are here this evening. So council will make sure that our citations are mailed to each of them at their home address. Moving on to the approval of minutes from our October 1, 2024 city council meeting. Any comments or discussion on the minutes from our previous city council meetings? I don't see any, so the minutes are going to stand approved. Moving on to public comment. Our first public comment, as is custom, is for any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. We have four individuals who signed up, and then we'll go around the room. So we will start with Ms. Mary Jo McCool. Can I ask everyone to state your name for the record, please?
Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. Not sure if this is being voted on or not, but I saw it on the agenda. I'm just asking you to think carefully about rezoning the rezoning request for 119 Technology Drive. When last year, when it was brought before this council last year, not only did the council consider looking at the appropriate tenants to utilize the building, but you also weighed the option due to the property having an environmental covenant that prohibits residential use. I do not believe that has changed. Disturbing the ground could pose detrimental environmental issues to the Lehigh River, which is already in an unhealthy condition. Other health issues could also arise. Second thing I want to bring up is during budget hearings for this year's budget, I numerous times expressed concern about raising taxes for city residents, especially for seniors and those on fixed incomes. I want to reiterate my concern again when considering the budget for next year. I've already crunched the numbers and my finances will once again take a hit. I ask that you be extremely prudent when finalizing the city's budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. And just for everyone's information, the 119 Technology Drive is just being read as a communication tonight, so the first public comment would be the appropriate time to comment, if anyone chose to. And our next speaker is Francine
Spivak.
Thank you.
Francine Spivak, 11 West 2nd Street. That's Riverport Condominiums, and I am a condo owner. I'm here to urge City Council to once again deny the rezoning request, which will allow for the construction of an apartment building at 119 Technology Drive. We really don't need any more apartment buildings in South Bethlehem. Since the request by Surfhouse a year ago, there are 82 units currently being built. 70 units at the Marshall and 20 units at the Goodman Building. There are also newly built units, 74 units at 610 Flats, which currently has 11 units available, and 10 units at 410 William Street, which all 10 are available. I believe that just opened. And 438 proposed units to be built, including the latest, which are 37 units at the former Casablanca nightclub on Evans Street, 24 units at the former Holy Infancy School on 4th Street and 120 units at the Gateway on 4th. This brings the total to approximately 604 newly built or already proposed units in South Bethlehem alone, and I'm sure I probably missed some. According to a Zillow rental market summary last updated on October 10, 2024, the median rent dropped $2 between September and October. There are currently 193 units available within the city, and the market temperature is warm, indicating less of a demand. Several agencies are now offering rent specials to entice residents. I believe 119 Technology Drive is an important piece of commercial real estate and feel city officials should make every effort to find suitable business to relocate or expand in South Bethlehem, especially if there's grant or any other government funding available. I feel jobs are more important than another big box apartment building. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker signed up is Artie Caratola.
Hi, I'm Artie Caratola from 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Hope I can get everything to get in 5 minutes. I got three topics I want to hit. One, the wasteful tax dollars that are coming out of our taxpayers' money. I don't know how it is in other facilities that are run by the city, but we know definitely in the library, the heat is on too much, and the air conditioning is on way too much. It doesn't need to happen. Now, if you're doing that in other cities, you're wasting the taxpayers' dollars. Come on. They say that the libraries has nothing to do with the city, but yet they tell me over there several times that the heating and the air conditioning is controlled by City Hall. What's going on here? Is it run by the city or not? When the video camera wasn't on the computer, when I had money taken out of my, the thing is, the library doesn't, it's nothing with the city, you know. But the thing is, City Hall controls the heat over there. And the wasted water, if you go into the bathroom, the toilets are flushing by themselves. What's going on? We got ghosts in there? I mean, like, what the heck? You know, that's waste of city tax dollars. Another thing is a waste, which I know a lot of you don't agree with, especially if you're elected politicians, is we spend too much money on elected officials in every city. If we control that a little bit, and city officials would expect to be running for their positions to serve their country and get no more than an enlisted man or woman gets, we would have a better country, and we would not be in the red. That's one of my premises upon running for mayor, which I'm not going to get elected, because the whole electoral machine, political machine, wants Willie. You're going to get him for $90,000 or more a year. You would have me for $35,000, and probably other elected officials would have done the same thing. Save a lot of money. I would have been just as good of a mayor as anyone. I'm still going as a write-in. If you want to write me in, write me in. I will make sure that that our city will be the shining star that it wants it to be, that we want it to be. Notice I did not say that we should be an example like Jesus Christ wants us to be. I said the shining star. So this way I'm not being considered anti-Semitic. Actually, elected officials could make their money if they write books afterwards. I got two books already done, coming out before the year's done. And by next year, I'll have two more. One is Lilith, and the other one is probably going to be called Racism and Anti-Semitism. But anyway, the feral cat situation. Let's take care of that situation. Let's give some money to the SPCA, the Humane Society, and the No Kill Foundation. So this way people, they see feral cats, they give them to them, they find places for them to adopt them. They have some money to spend for that. That takes care of that thing. As far as the homeless situation, One of my many ideas is, it's a no-brainer here. There's a lot of jobs that need to be done with the city. Give them to the homeless people for a place to stay, and if they want to work a little extra, to get some extra money. Why not? You get rid of the homeless situation that way. Give them some jobs. A lot of them will be happy to have jobs, and they would do a good job for whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. Wow, I got 52 minutes. 50 minutes. I'm all out of things to say. I said everything. Well, I don't know. Anybody got a joke? No? Okay. But anyway, I'm Jay Green. That's my, definitely. That's my professional name. You Google Jay Green, you'll find out some of the things that I've done. And I've been doing, performing corporate bookings. And you'll even find my phone number in there and my email. Just Jay Creed, J-C-R-E-E-D. That's my professional name. But if you're voting, of course, you got to use Artie Curatola because that's not a derivative of my regular name. If my name was Donald Trump and you vote for Donald Duck, you will get me. Anyway, God bless you all. Keep on rocking. Keep it together.
Thank you. Our next speaker this evening is Christina De Jesus.
Hi, my name is Christina De Jesus. I'm at 421 Buchanan Street. I wanted to talk about the parking authority and the parking situation in our community. The parking is very limited where I live at, in particularly, and in the residential area, there's only two-hour parking, and there's also a parking lot that I specifically park at, which you have to pay $50 a month for. I've just been having a lot of issues with the parking authority, getting tickets for parking in certain zones, in certain areas, and it's just making it really hard for people in our community because I feel like this is a low-income community, and these parking authorities are making it really hard for us and causing a burden. Recently, I had a boot put on my car, and I was late to work. I had to Uber to two different places they just made me jump through loopholes to try to get the boot off of my car. And it just is a burden for me as a mom with three kids, and there's barely any parking in front of my home. Sometimes I have to park three blocks away, which makes it really hard when you're unloading kids, unloading groceries, and things like that. The two-hour parking is all throughout the streets in the community where I live at, and it just makes it really hard for the residents, coming from Section 8 communities or low-income families. It just makes it really hard for us. So I'm just looking for something that's like proactive action that we can just find a solution for this problem, because it just is really like invasive for the area in which I live in.
Thank you, Mr. Jesus. I'll invite you or anybody else who speaks, if you want to speak with members of council after the meeting, you're welcome to. We do have, while the parking authority is its own authority of the city, we do have a parking authority liaison, a member of city council, and then the parking authority has their own board and meetings that we could share with you when those are too, if you wanted to make a direct address to them also. And to anybody, if you didn't want to stay till the end of the meeting, depending how long it is, you could always follow up with our city clerk, and all of our emails are on the city website if you wanted to reach out following the meeting. That exhausts our list of everyone who had signed up previously. So as is common, I'll go around the room, left to right, starting to, this is for anything not being voted on tonight. Mr. Haynes?
Bruce Haynes, Bethlehem. Following up on that comment, I made a real pitch when they made the meters took them down from 3 hours to 2 hours in downtown, in the south side and the north side, to expand where there are no meters and it's strictly a two-hour parking, which is way outside the downtown. So when you go down Market Street, for example, away from the meters, it goes to, it's still two-hour parking. And it seems to me that the further you are from downtown, the meters should be 3 hours. I mean, not the meters, the part, this is non-metered area, should have been changed at the same time to switch them, basically. The 2 hours, they made it 2 hours downtown to encourage turnover. But those turnover then should be pushing people out further away from downtowns, both downtowns. And those meters, in those areas, not meters, but those areas that have 2 hour limits should truly be considered for 3 hour. I brought that up in DBA meetings to the parking authority, so I'm echoing this lady's comments. But what I'm up here about is the point about the technology center. Seems like we vetted this a year ago. I don't know what's changed. I mean, it was a deep vetting, at least a year or 2 years ago, about why this was a good thing to keep the technology opportunity there as opposed to turning it into housing. So I guess at some point we're going to hear testimony about why all of a sudden the whole thing changed and is doing a reversal again. And the thing that really bothered me about last time was that should not be changed to commercial business district, because they weren't going to have any first floor retail or restaurants. It was all going to be for people that lived in the apartment building. It wasn't going to be open to the public for retail and restaurants. So if the change is going to be from whatever the zoning is now, it should not be commercial business district, because first floor retail is required in commercial business district. You know, perhaps it's supposed to be, it should be something else if they're going to convert it to make it residential, but it shouldn't be in the CB district. So that's my only point.
Thank you, Mr. Haynes. Anyone else on the left who has made comment? Yes, sir.
Hello, Harry Faber, Bethlehem. I actually agree with pretty much everything Mr. Haynes said. I'll be the first person to say that fines are an assault on the working class, on low-income individuals. They disproportionately affect poor people. That's like one of the first things you learn in economics. But what I came up here today to talk about is a particularly horrifying incident that took place yesterday with our tax dollars. Yesterday, Israel launched a brutal airstrike on Al-Aqsa Mosque in Deir al-Balah. Two of the people murdered were 19-year-old Shaban Ahmad and his mother. Shaban was sheltering in a tent in a compound on a hospital bed hooked up and attached to an IV, recovering from a bombing previously that occurred on October 6th. There's video footage of him on the bed, IV attached, burning alive. The flames blazed with such a ferocity that rescuers could not intervene to save them. They could only watch powerlessly as he succumbed to the flames. Shaban was a real person, just like every other victim in this genocide, whether they're recorded or not. And I ask, is this the world you want to live in? Is this the world you want your children to accept as normal? Is there a specific injustice that needs to happen for the world to wake up? When does this become inhumane to the world? Are we waiting for the next nuclear bomb? When is it too late? For 374 days, they have screamed, and no one answered. If you accept this to be normal, you must also accept that this can one day happen to you and your family. And you will scream, I will scream, and no one will answer ours. We need a boycott. We need to divest. We need a sanction. That's all.
Thank you. Is there anyone else to the left who wants to make comment on anything we're not voting on this evening? I turn to the wide center. Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I am moved by Eric's comment to recite a quote from memory. It's a rather famous quote from Pastor Niemöller, if I remember the name correctly. It was a German Protestant minister during the Third Reich. And it goes something like this. First they came for the communists. I was not a communist, so I did nothing. Then they came for the socialists. and I was not a socialist, so I did nothing. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I was not a member of a trade union, so I did nothing. Then they came for me. He ended up in a concentration camp. He did survive the war, but it's a famous quote, which is worth remembering, I think. On items not to be voted on anymore tonight are included the minutes, and I'm happy to report that my comments at the last meeting were summarized accurately once again, ex post facto. And I would like to speak a little bit about the state income tax. Some of you have heard me say this country has become so sloppy, I'm amazed we won the Cold War. The other side must have been really screwed up. I probably won't go through all the errors in the state income tax form and instructions, so I'll just start with the most humorous one. Through the years, and I've been filling these out for the 20 years I've been back, there's a county code and a school district code they want you to put in, and in the instructions you find a list of the codes. Well, this year that's the same was true for the school district code, but there was no form of space on the return for the county code. Instead, they had country code. Somebody added an R, and it was printed on millions and millions of tax returns. So I thought, well, okay, I'll just get the county code and put it there. Nope, the county codes are gone this year. Couldn't find them in the instructions. So what to do? If I leave it blank, the computer might say, uh-oh, he left it blank. Call him in. So I thought, I got to put something there. I don't know the county code. I don't know of a country code. So I wrote in USA. Hopefully that'll go through. The other thing is, and this is more serious, you have to fill out a Pennsylvania income tax return if your taxable income is more than $33 in that year. And Social Security and pensions are not considered to be taxable income. In my particular case, I got a total of $51 from dividends and interest, so I had to fill out a return. And then you go, oh, and my tax then was $1.56. But then you have a form there that says tax forgiveness. And if your taxable income is less than $6,500, the tax is forgiven. You don't have to pay any tax. So in other words, the first $6,500 of taxable income is tax-free. But to comply with this, you have to fill out two forms and two pages each. What a waste of time. How many millions of people in this state fill out those forms every year, and do they ever do anything with them? I doubt it very much. It's just a colossal waste of time, and it's amazing that it persists year after year after year. I don't know. Words fail me at some times. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the wide center who wants to make comment on anything we're not voting on this evening? Yes?
I live at 11 West 2nd Street. My name's Alex. We're having a bit of a problem with parking at the Riverport condos right across this river, actually. I'm just dealing with this issue a lot, where the parking authority seems to be ticketing vehicles for almost no reason. I've been a resident there for a while, and the number of people I've known there have been getting ticketing vehicles, even though we live there. I've gotten even threatened to tow our vehicles because we're parked illegally in places where we have actual tags for our vehicles, and we pay to park there every month. I myself received 5 tickets on my vehicle just going on a trip for 14 days, all stacked on top of each other, and went to go inform them. They said, well, you're there illegally. and I had to show them that I paid for it and that I live there. And numerous people know I've had to deal with this. I don't know if you guys know who we should be talking to about this. For the parking there, I'd love more information if you can give it to me. It's become a bit of an issue about our parking authority going into the residential spaces at the condos because they're ticketing stubs for no reason. And a lot of times we must go back to the parking authority administration, go in, show them the tickets, they have to cancel them or they're not canceling. And it's become a bit of a game now. So I'm just wondering if I can get any more information about so we can kind of deal with this situation because getting your car threatened to be towed and live there and pay money to live there and pay money to park there kind of gets a little annoying after a bit. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As I stated earlier when Ms. Jesus spoke, so
yeah,
during new business, I'll try to pull up the when the parking authority board meetings are just to share for the room. And then if you want us to have further conversation after the meeting or follow up with our clerks through an email, anything you want to communicate, anybody's always welcome to. But when we get to new business, I'll try to pull up that information about at least when that board meets. I don't have it off the top of my head.
Michael was the liaison.
Councilman Wilhelm was the liaison. Was there anyone else in the wide center who wanted to make comment who did not have a chance to yet? I turn to the right. Anyone to the right who wants to make comment for council? Anything not being voted on tonight? That concludes our first public comment. So we are going to move to a second public comment. This is reserved for any ordinance or resolution that's going to be put up for vote tonight. There was no one signed up in advance. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment on anything we're voting on this evening? Seeing none, I turn to the wide center. Anyone in the center? Mr. Shire?
Bill Sharrigan, 1898. On documentation, it's on the for the agenda. I've talked before about how copies of the agenda are no longer coming by mail, so you have to have access to the internet at home, which I do not. But I can access it at the library, which involves a trip downtown, in which case I could go equally likely to the city council and get a copy of the agenda the day before. And tonight there's no, the only copy of the background documents now are the ones on the, I don't know what you call it, that it's all sort of loosely, it's a binder with some hooks and they're available there. So I was curious about the some of the ordinances for final passage tonight. I passed over them at the last meeting because they were budget adjustments, and those are usually rather boring. But there are three tonight, which are now for final passage, which are not as boring as usual. The first one is 8B, $5,000. And the only thing it says on the backup document, which is over out in the hallway, professional services, $5,000. Well, $5,000 is not a lot of money in the larger scheme of things, but it'd be nice to know what the professional services are. HC of the three items I flagged, that's the bigger one. Budget adjustment, $500,000, $500,000. And there's no indication here in the agenda, it says FARE, P-H-A-R-E, Alley House Consultant. So presumably the money, $500,000, is going to a consultant. What is this consultant going to do? We have no idea. I don't. Maybe you do. Maybe you get something else that's not available to the public. But as a member of the public, I'd like to know what $500,000 is going to a consultant for. The third one that I flagged is 8E. It's $40,000 going to something called Lehigh Accessory Dwelling Unit. Now, accessory dwellings are something of a hot topic these days. In any event, that's something else I'd like to know what it's for. Apparently, I'm not entitled to know it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shatter. Is there anyone else in the wide center who has made comment on anything we're voting on this evening? Anyone to the right who has made comment on anything we're voting on this evening? That adjourns our second, that concludes our second public comment. Moving on to old business. Any old business from members of council? Seeing none, moving on to new business. It's got a couple things let's bring up. Starting with the rescheduling of our Tuesday, November 5th city council meeting to move it to Wednesday, November 6th. There is the general election coming up that day, so we typically move our council meeting to the Wednesday following the election. So I will accept a motion followed by a second to reschedule the first council meeting in November to Wednesday, November 6th at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall due to City Hall being closed on November 5th, which is general election day.
So moved.
I will say motion by Ms. Leone, second by Ms. Laird. Any discussion on the motion to move the council meeting date? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Is this about the November 5th? I'm sorry. Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimson-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. So the first city council meeting in November has been rescheduled to Wednesday, November 6th at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. I did want to just follow up briefly on about the parking authority. So Mr. Miller helped me look it up while some conversation was going on. The Parking Authority Board meets the fourth Wednesday of each month at 4 p.m. So again, that's 4 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of each month over at their office at 85 West Market Street. That information is available on the city website and the Parking Authority website. Again, anyone's welcome to follow up with us. And it was alluded to earlier, no members of council serve on the Parking Authority Board, but Councilwoman Wilhelm is our liaison to the Parking Authority. That's all I have for new business. I will open it up to any other new business from members of council. Councilwoman Kwiatek?
Hi. Just quickly, I wanted to say that just to address Mr. Shire's concerns about not knowing about these agenda items, this is the third time we'll be looking at these. We had a finance committee meeting prior to our last. Prior to our last meeting where we discussed these items in some detail, and then at the next, at the council meeting following that, immediately following that committee meeting, I also went into a bit of detail about what each of these were before we had our first votes. So this is, again, the third time that we're looking at these, and there was documentation and discussion.
Ms. Kwiatek, any other new business from members of council? Mr. Callahan?
Mr. Collins, you guys, just a second.
Sure. I don't think I was on council when the Surfas development project at 119 Technology Drive was addressed. Can you explain why that's coming back again?
Ms. Collins, ma'am.
Sure.
Before I turn it over to you, just because I think it is relevant, this is a private petition from a member of the public. So I'll turn it over to Ms. Collins, but I like to answer questions where I can. So the petitioner, Mr. Surfas, had, I believe it was about a year and a half ago, come forward to council, definitely within the last 2 years, between a year and 2 years ago, and had requested for council to rezone it. It was, as is their right, they had filed all the paperwork with Mr. Miller, and then my understanding is they came back into the council office again and resubmitted the paperwork again.
So it was originally on the past council, and it was shot down, right? It was rejected.
It was voted down 7-0 last time.
and now it's back, and they're trying to change the zoning again to the same thing that they were asking for before, or something different?
Essentially the same. They filed a similar petition as they had previously. Yeah. So they're asking for the same consideration that was requested the last time.
How? I'm not sure how. I mean, maybe there's a legal an issue, technicality, why they're allowed, but if it got shot down already by the past council, why would it be allowed to come back again?
That's something Ms. Stewart and I are going to be discussing. Actually, we touched base on it briefly already. We're going to be talking more after the meeting, just for her to look into, to be able to share with council some of that insight as to what the rights are. As we know, as we talk about different development projects and things like that, people have property rights. This is a very atypical circumstance where in all of our time and my time on council, I don't remember a petition coming forward that was not granted, and then within any interval, let alone 18 months, coming back. So that's something that I was going to talk to Ms. Stewart about, just to give an opinion to council and talk about what the how often does someone get to essentially ask us to do the same thing and it not be granted.
And if I may?
Yeah, follow me.
Mr. Spurk and I have spoken about this very issue, and you know, preliminarily I will say that the law is very broad with respect to the rights of a property owner to seek relief relative to their property. And there's really nothing in the municipality's planning code, nor in case law that I've researched thus far, that really goes to, you know, how many bites of the apple does an applicant get. But certainly it would seem that if the same applicant is coming back for the same relief.
I didn't understand that.
That there might be parameters around that, so I'm going to continue to research that. But thus far, I've really found nothing in the MPC or in the case law that limits the right of a property owner to seek relief. I'll continue to research that.
Mr. Callahan, do you have a follow-up?
I don't have a follow-up, but I have another question on another topic, so I think she has a question about it.
I'll let you finish what you have, Mr. Callahan, and then I'll turn the floor over to Ms. Francie Smith.
Yeah. Did you want to add anything, Ms. Collins?
I don't have much to add. President Clement is correct that it's a citizen-initiated petition, and I was actually surprised to see it come back. I think from my vantage point, there's a number of different potential opportunities for that site, probably even more so than the last time we were here before council with this question. So I think, I was surprised to see it come back. But it's not a city-directed petition.
Initiated.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. My last question, I hope this is not true, but we all know how rumors spread. I had a couple business owners not only get a hold of me, but also Ms. Cramsey Smith, and said that the homeless people are being paid $100 Wawa cards if they bring their garbage up to a certain area within the city. Anybody know anything about this?
Yeah, we actually have talked about this at past meetings. So the Health Bureau does have an initiative. It's modeled off of a lot of other communities. And we've put a lot in city resources in to clean up the area down on Sand Island. Some cleaning out the canals and doing other work. And then we've had assistance from RAP, like Bethlehem Emergency Shelter, to organize cleanups. But putting all that, all those resources in, you don't want them to see continued trash accumulation. And what's worked in other communities and what we're just piloting here as a pilot is an incentive program so that people who are unhoused and living in the area are incentivized to clean up after themselves. So we have folks from Community Connections, Bob Rapp from Emergency Shelter, working with the people who live down there. I don't believe they're $100. I think it's more like maybe $20. I would have to double check.
$5.
It's $5. but it's meant to be an incentive to help people clean up after themselves, and it's supported by grant funding.
Can you just, no rush on it, you know, but just send us an email just outlining it. I mean, it's the first I've heard of it, exactly how much it is. I mean, there's a big difference between five, and I believe you that it is five, but there's, we have business people saying it's $100, which would be kind of shocking. If it is five, I trust you, but if you could just get back to us and the parameters of it, how often do they get it, how much garbage do they have to, I mean, who's shelling out these gift cards? Because it's taxpayer money, right?
So it's grant funded through the Health Bureau.
And that comes from the state?
I believe it's a state grant.
It's still tax dollars, right? Just, you know, whenever you can let us know about it. Thank you.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
I just have a follow-up for Attorney Stewart. You were talking about the rights of property owners, but I'm wondering, is the petition on behalf of Searfoss, are they indeed the property owner? Because I thought they were not the property owner at this point, that they want the rezoning, and then they'll buy the property if they got it. So doesn't that make things a bit different in the scenario here?
The municipality's planning code defines a landowner, includes in that definition an equitable owner, who would be someone who would be under contract and not even necessarily bound to that contract, but under contract for property. So I did look at that, and they do qualify as a landowner and they're able to petition under the MPC.
So are we certain that they are under contract with the property? I guess that's my question.
That is, that was stated in the application. That's their basis for asserting the right to pursue this relief.
I would just say, even though they stated it, I understand, but I would just request that we make certain that they definitely are under contract, so that therefore they have the rights as a property owner.
It's my recollection, and I do not want to speak out of turn because I could be not remembering this correctly, and I will go back and look, but I believe that the contract may have been included in the documents that were submitted. So.
All right, thank you. And again, my concern is, I think everybody else has some concerns about this, but my concern is that, you know, do we want... And I know we are bound by the laws for property owners, but, you know, I think we certainly want to not get into the position where we have people continually re-petitioning for something that we've already made a decision on, because we have so much, you know, business that we have to attend to, and it's just not the most proficient use of time.
No, I certainly understand that, and I think that that's something that I want to continue to research and hopefully find something that will be beneficial to the city in terms of managing applications. Thus far, I haven't found it.
Okay. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Any other new business from members of council? Ms. Wilhelm?
Yeah, I just wanted to officially introduce myself as the liaison to the Parking Authority. If you don't want to stay after the meeting and wait to speak to me, I can't speak on behalf of the BPA, but I can give you my email address. If you don't plan to stay for the entire meeting, I can meet you out in the hallway.
Thank you, Councilwoman Wilhelm. Any other new business from any members of council? All right, we're going to continue on. Communication 6A.
September 12, 2024, communication from Attorney James Preston on behalf of Searfoss Development and Acquisitions with petition requesting amendment to the city zoning map involving 119 Technology Drive. The current zoning for this property is industrial redevelopment. The request is to change the zoning classification to become part of the adjacent central business district. An attached August 28, 2024 memorandum from developer to council indicates the proposed development would be an apartment building project with more than 240 units. It also notes that a similar plan was reviewed by council in 2023.
I will accept a motion and a second to schedule public hearing for November 19, 2024 here at Town Hall to consider this rezoning request. So I asked for a motion, I might have misspoken. a motion and a second schedule the public hearing for the rezoning request for November 19th.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Leone. Is there a second?
Point of order. Are we required to pass a vote, please? I know this is an unusual situation.
I'm going to second the motion, and then we can have discussion on the motion. So Ms. Leone was the motion, and I'm the second on it. So now we'll have discussion on the public comment, or excuse me, on scheduling the public hearing. I will turn to Attorney Stewart just to kind of say what we're bound to relative to the application.
Quite frankly, I would say that under the municipality's planning code, it would just get scheduled. You could simply just schedule it without a vote to schedule it. It was on the agenda for a vote to schedule it. Such as it is, I think you move forward with that.
So the Attorney Stewart, please, if you can, by the MPC, by the Municipal Planning Code, we do have, once an applicant files a petition, we are bound by a certain amount of time to have a public hearing.
To hold a hearing, correct.
So that being said, given that the public hearing date is for November 19th, which is more than a month from now, and Attorney Stewart's stated investigation in concert with Attorney Spurk, who's been involved and the department of, well, the other.
I don't know about the concert part.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're in concert.
As we are kind of figuring out, what, in plain English, what our rights are here as a council, and if we do have to listen to, if we do have to hear it or not, we are bound by a time commitment.
That is
so true. I would feel more comfortable in the absence of a firm legal opinion tonight to say, no, we do not have to at least for the purposes of transparency, say our plan is to hear this on November 19th, and then if anything changes between now and the next meeting or now and November 19th from our solicitor in terms of insight to that this is not something that we do have to listen to or have to entertain and vote on. But as of right now, we don't have that. And the clock is ticking that we have to grant the applicant this public hearing in a certain amount of time. So I would say I feel more confident scheduling the public hearing, and then if we need to change anything in the interim between now and November 19th, we can announce that, and Attorney Stewart can give her legal opinion. Any other discussion on the motion on the table to schedule the public hearing for the November 19, prior to the November 19, 2024 City Council meeting. I'll start with Ms. Ramsey Smith.
So just to be clear, that even if we vote nay on scheduling the public hearing, we have to have the public hearing anyway, so the vote is really,
Does it
really matter?
Well, I would say I look at the vote. I didn't mean to interrupt you, I apologize. I would say I look at it as us confirming and announcing what day we plan on honoring our obligation to give them a public hearing.
Under the municipality's planning code, when an application is submitted, you have a certain amount of time to hold a hearing. And quite frankly, if there's anything that's different about this petition, and I don't have the advantage of having that first petition. I have to go back and obtain that so I can compare them, because that's a big part of the analysis in terms of whether anything at all is different. If it is, it's, I think that the right to proceed, the right of a landowner to proceed is pretty clear. But just as a matter of procedure, and application has been filed, there are timelines for providing an opportunity to be heard, and that's what's before you tonight.
So even if, so again, I'm clear that if there is not a majority or the number to approve of the hearing, we're still having a hearing. So the vote is really a moot point, is that, just so I have my, I understand it correctly.
I wouldn't say that. I think your vote carries, but then you run into an issue under the municipality's planning code, which is, you know, the next question would be, how do we deal with that?
And no matter what the vote is, we still, between now and the time of the hearing, if we find that legally is determined that we don't need to have the hearing, then we just can cancel the hearing.
If that is what the research reveals, that will be the avenue that we can pursue.
Kim?
So, if it's found that the application is the same, we don't have to have a hearing.
That's, I'm not saying that. I'm saying as a starting point, if the applications are identical in every respect, that might lean toward a finding that we don't have to, but we may still have to. And certainly, what more? My point was more, if they're different in any way, then my recommendation and the law would require that, you know, it's a completely separate application. It has to be heard.
I'm going to be voting no tonight on it until we find out. I mean, if it's determined in the future that the pulses are different, then they can come back to us. But I'm going to be voting no. Based on the fact that I'm assuming it's the same proposal that was shot down by the past council.
Any other discussion on the motion to schedule the public hearing? Ms. Leo?
So I guess maybe, again, Attorney Stewart, this might be for you. If the proposals don't seem to be the same because one has a 10% affordability that they're promising as opposed to the other one. I'm not saying one way or another whether I support this project. I'm just saying they don't appear to be the same because there is that 10% affordability difference in this one as to the previous one. Is that enough to say that we should have this hearing then, regardless of how we feel about the project or the hearing, all that stuff? Is that enough of a difference to say that a hearing would be required?
In my view, yes. And again, my view would be, you have an application, follow the procedure. Absent clear authority, clear legal authority that says, okay, well, you know, you were here a year ago, you're not allowed to come back. But I will tell you, I have searched for that authority and it does not appear at first pass to exist. It may. Sometimes it's a needle in a haystack sometimes.
But it's your opinion right now that we don't have a clear legal authority that would say don't use this.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Bleak?
I when I raised the question, it wasn't that I necessarily didn't want to have the hearing. I just wanted to know if we procedurally had to, have a vote, or could it fail because it didn't have a second. But in hearing Attorney Stewart's, comments and looking at, the fact that there are probably differences, and considering the fact that, if you're a property owner and you want to petition us, that is part of the way we run things in this, private property capitalist society that we live in. This is, you property owners have rights. And as much as over the past several years, we've had plenty of these applications for all different kinds of relief or things from equitable owners, and I question whether that's appropriate, because I do kind of think that somebody should have to buy the property in order to be a property owner, and not just have an agreement of sale. They do kind of put this, into a legal document that they transmit to us, so the fact is that this person is an equitable owner. They are handing a legal document over legally to us, and we do need to follow the procedure, so I will be voting yes. I just think that, not thinking about how we are ultimately going to vote yes or no on this petition, but thinking about the fact that, you know, we all have a right to, you know, redress, you know, our grievances to our municipality and ask for relief. And we have a right to that hearing. It's not just about this person. It's about anybody who comes to us. And you know, time moves on and circumstances change. And this, even if it were the same position, it could be that this moment was the right moment, or that certainly could be part of their argument. Again, not saying how any of us will vote yes or no on the petition itself. It does seem that we need to have the hearing, so I'll be voting yes. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Laird?
Question. So, vote we've confirmed is about the procedure that we have to follow, and we're voting on a certain date and time. Is that correct? Can you reiterate what the date and time is so that we can?
Correct. So it would be to schedule the public hearing, which is part of the process for the rezoning, the requested rezoning, for November 19th, which would be at the top of our regular council meeting at 7 p.m. as we typically do for public hearings.
Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Councilman Kramer.
I'll just say that I guess this is just another instance in government, having worked in government, not just being a council member, where things don't always make sense. And I really do not want to be a yes to this, but I will, just so we can move on and then hopefully we can address the legal issues, because I think the biggest issue is, are they real property owners of this property that they are seeking to rezone, and that's key. So, again, it's just something that we, another thing that we need to deal with, even though I don't think it makes sense. Thank you.
If I may, unfortunately, we don't have latitude to determine their status as a landowner, because that is defined in the municipality's planning code. And I know it seems odd.
But I guess my understanding is they need to be the landowner or under contract to even submit this petition, so that they have the rights of the landowner. Is that, am I wrong?
There are a couple of different ways, but being an equitable owner in a property is one of the ways that you can proceed.
So even if they're not equitable owner under contract, they can still petition for this rezoning. Is that correct?
No. Equitable owner means that they have an equitable interest in the property by virtue of an agreement of sale.
Okay.
Or a lease.
So I'm clear that they need to either have an agreement of sale or own the property to do this petition, and that's...
There are a couple of different ways under the MPC, but they're not implicated by the petition.
Any other discussion from members of council? I'll just briefly make two points. As it relates to scheduling the public hearing, prior to Attorney Stewart saying we could just schedule it, I've never experienced that in my time on council. Historically, we always, after something's read into the record as a communication, as a council, schedule and vote on it. So I don't want to imply that there's no... unilaterally something would have happened or will happen depending on how that vote goes. That'd have to be addressed after the vote. Historically, this is how we've always handled scheduling public comments, as a council making the announcement, putting it in the record. And as Mr. Miller politely reminded me, there are, aside from us listening to the applicant's request at a public hearing, there's certain advertising requirements that we're bound to and that Mr. Miller handles and our clerk's office handles, that scheduling the public hearing then allows him to start doing his work to make sure that we're meeting those advertising requirements. So while, as Councilman Ramsey Smith said, might not make sense, there are, as Councilman Kwiatek mentioned, there are a certain, this is part of a process that I will continue conversation with Attorney Stewart, and at our next council meeting, which is not when we're hearing the public hearing, that's two meetings from now, hope to have something more informative in terms of what council's role and obligations are as we move forward with this. Okay. Any other comment before we call the roll? Attorney Stewart, I see you grabbing your mic.
I'd just like to say that my comment about the vote was purely, I think it's administratively completely appropriate if that is how you proceed. It's just not required under the MPC. That was my only comment there. Thank you.
Understood. Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion to schedule the public hearing on November 19th for the request from Surplus Development.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Ms. Grimson-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Communication 6B.
September 27th, 2024 memorandum with an attached resolution from Health Director Kristen Wenrick. Ms. Wenrick recommends contract with Tactical Data Group of Stafford, Virginia to develop comprehensive communications plan for the city. Cost is $100,000. Work is to be completed by June 30th, 2025. There are no renewals. Three RFPs were submitted and the Tactical Data Group was scored the highest by the review panel.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda. 6C.
An October 3rd, 2024 memorandum from Business Administrator Eric Evans advising that a direct deposit for pension state aid in the amount of $4,844,497.56 has been allocated to pension bond payments for police, fire, and Pennsylvania Municipal Retirement System minimum municipal obligations. The breakdown is as follows: $1,633,936.78 for police, $1,936,978 for fire, and $1,576,624 for the PMRS.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda. 16.
An October 2nd, 2024 memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Mr. Boscola recommends a contract with NTEC Engineering Incorporated of Reading to provide engineering services to prepare air quality state-only operating renewal application for the wastewater treatment plant. Permit renewal is required every 5 years. The cost is $5,550. Work is to be completed by January 1st, 2026. There are no renewals. NTEC has performed the service with prior permit applications for the city.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda. 6E.
An October 9th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, buying through its Downtown Bethlehem Association, and the activity is the 2024 Christmas City Village. The agreement specifies event times, dates, and the duration for use from October 28, 2024 through January 7, 2025. The agreement also specifies three locations for use.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. 6F.
An October 9, 2024 memorandum with an attached resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins recommends a contract with Christy M. Davies of Bethlehem to assess the completeness of an October 2024 appraisal of land proposed for purchase to complete the South Bethlehem Greenway. The cost is $4,500. Work is to be completed by November 15, 2024. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda tonight. 6G.
An October 9th, 2024 memorandum and attached proposed resolution and contract for purchase and sale from City Solicitor John M. Spurk Jr. Solicitor Spurk recommends the purchase of 1.8 acres of land along 0.9 miles of abandoned rail lines in South Bethlehem from Norfolk Southern Railway Company.
And Resolution 10G is on the agenda tonight. 6E.
An October 8th, 2024 memorandum from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins recommends an adjustment that would increase the non-utility capital fund budget by $900,000. This change is the result of the receipt of an $800,000 U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service grant and $100,000 being transferred from the city's Recreation Facilities Fund. The money and $3.5 million already received from three other grants will be used to purchase land to complete the Greenway project and costs associated with investigating, preparing, and closing the transaction.
And that's going to be 9A under new ordinances this evening. Thank you, Mr. Milliner. Moving on to reports. I just have our committee of the whole report.
that the committee of the whole met earlier tonight before council to discuss the administration's proposed five-year capital improvement program for years 2025 through 2029. The meeting was for information only. No actions were taken during the committee of the whole meeting. The proposed 2025 non-utility capital plan that is incorporated in the five-year capital improvement program will be reviewed by council again during our upcoming budget meetings as part of the proposed 2025 non-utility capital budget. That's all I have this evening. Mr. Evans?
No reports this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. We're going to move on to our ordinances for final passage. 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 33, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francis-Smith.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird? Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 8B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 34, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francis-Smith.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird? Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 8C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 35, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francis-Smith.
Discussion? I'll start left to right. Mr. Callahan?
Ms. Collins? So this is for the alley houses that we're turning these garages into apartments.
So this is the Lehigh University applied for or asked the city to apply on their behalf and serve as a pass through for a grant from the Pennsylvania Housing Affordability and Rehabilitation Enhancement Fund. So it's FAIR. So it's not to pay for a consultant. It is a grant proposal that Lehigh put together as part of their alley house work. We were the applicant and we are passing this grant funds through to Lehigh University.
So the amount of money is $500,000?
Correct.
And that's just for studying?
No, my understanding of Lehigh's proposal is that this is a component that deals with construction. So it's actually funding the construction of the pilot alley house that the students are working on right now, so they'll be looking to this grant to reimburse it. I think it also is going to include the possibility that if zoning is opened up at some point in the future, it could construct about three or four more of these houses. Actually, it's actually not a consultant or study.
For the $500,000, how many alley houses are getting built for that amount?
I believe Lehigh's proposal is that it would be three to four.
And then the deal with that is the homeowner gets this built for free, correct?
So homeowners who are interested in the proposal would have this built. These particular ones would have it built through the grant, and it's a combination with New Bethany and Community Action on property managing.
And how long then does the homeowner have to keep the rent at an affordable housing rate?
I believe the period of affordability is 20 years. It is 20 years.
And then at the end of the 20 years, it goes to market rate for the homeowner.
It would be up to the homeowner.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Kwiatek?
I just wanted to say that as an employee of Lehigh University, I'll be recusing myself from this agenda item and we'll be voting on it tonight.
Thank you. Any other discussion, Ms. Wall?
I also wanted to say that as an employee of Lehigh University, I will be recusing myself from this vote.
Understood.
Understood. Any other discussion?
I just wanted to have it clarified because I know Mr. Shire asked, so thank you. I think that clarifies that this is really just a pass-through of grant money, and it will be used right for the construction of the units, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ritchie-Smith. Any other discussion? Mr. Miller, we will call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Recuse.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Ms. Grahamson-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Recuse.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. So it passes 4-1 with two members of council recusing. 8D.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 36, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francis Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 8E.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 37, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion on AE. Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify because I think Mr. Shire asked about this, and I believe from the last meeting it's a like an alarm system for those that have developmental disabilities and Alzheimer's, whereas they can be tracked if they would get away from their home. I think, is that correct? Can you confirm that?
Yeah. I can handle that, yes, okay. Absolutely. Okay. It's a band that has basically GPS in it, where an individual is Alzheimer's or is autistic, if they wander, it helps police and our partners locate that individual.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman and Kutat. Any other discussion from members of council?
A quick question.
Ms. Kwiatkowski.
Ms. McCool, I will now speak for Lehigh County. When we discussed this at the committee hearing, I believe it was Ms. Wenrick or one of her staff members said that they would also be training the Northampton County law enforcement in the use of this, and then they would be getting the equipment as well. What about Lehigh County?
So the program is active in Lehigh County as well.
Okay,
it's just
thank
we're
you.
Trying to get Northampton County up and running.
That was my suspicion when we spoke about it after. Yeah,
thank
but,
you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grahamson Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 8F.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 38, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Grahamson Smith.
Discussion? Start with Ms. Kwiatkowski.
So this is one that's kind of borderline because I think the money is coming to the city from Lehigh, but I'm still going to recuse myself just to out of the issue of transparency.
Understood. As well?
Same.
Enough said. Any other discussion, Ms. Francis-Smith?
Can you just clarify, I'm sorry, Ms. Collins, what this is exactly for? Is it grant money? Where the money's coming from? Was it used for?
Yes, so this is grant money in the opposite way that was awarded to Lehigh University for HUD research grant. So they were selected as one of a few communities across the country for this type of grant to research accessory dwelling units. And a component of that also is available for the city to look specifically at city zoning. So when they asked for support for their application, we said if you're going to have a zoning component, that's not something we would really want to outsource to Lehigh. That's something that we would want to work on in-house, right? Like we have a director of planning and zoning who's well aware of our zoning ordinance and our specific neighborhoods and unique needs and
we would also want to engage in the community in a way that we're comfortable with before, you know, exploring any possible zoning changes. So we asked that Lehigh write in as a part of their grant, money from their grant that we could use then to do that kind of work here for the city.
So so just so I'm clear, so I know it's like a pilot program with the couple, 3 to 4 that we're using, and we don't need to have, that we're, they're constructing, we don't need rezoning for those, right? They're already within an area that's compatible for ADUs?
There is one pilot that's currently under construction, and that was approved at the Zoning Hearing Board for a variance. The goal would be not to take any others back for a variance, but to instead be looking at what's happening with the pilot project, using that as a component of research and the study to see, you know, how far, like what setbacks are appropriate, what kind of parking restrictions or allowances are best for these type of developments. Using all of that, as we're also looking at best practices in other communities and all sorts of things related to our zoning, and then possibly, potentially, if there's support, updating our zoning, and then the subsequent construction would be something that's by right.
So we'd be using these funds basically to look at the one pilot unit and the effectiveness of it, and you know what the community input is and things like that, to gather all the data regarding that, right? And then based on that, gather further data and make a decision as far as requesting rezoning. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's definitely, that's definitely a component of it. There's also a lot of like best practices research from other communities. Like, you know, right now there's Dr. Karen Beck-Pooley has this great map that shows like the case studies for accessory dwelling units, and there are a bunch, but most of them are in California. But her and her students, as part of the HUD research grant, are going to be looking at expanding that by about 15 times and looking at communities that are more comparable to Bethlehem. You know, how does their zoning allow for accessory dwelling units, but not just allow for them, but also ensure that they are respectful of the neighborhoods and incentivized for affordable uses? How do we make sure that they're not becoming investor properties? Like, all of these different questions about how this plays out in other communities is going to be part of the research that goes into this.
And as part of the, just, so I know this is a pilot, like, the number of years where it has to be mandated to be an affordable housing rate, is that open for change then, like that, for the rest, as we move forward with additional units? Like, is that?
I would say that, so there are two components. There's the pilot and the construction with the Lehigh University architectural students and New Bethany Community Action. That's a partnership that's really a guaranteed way to make sure that we've got these units are becoming affordable. If you look at the zoning generally, there's the possibility that you can't restrict accessory uses. You know, if somebody wants to convert a garage, you can't require that they make it affordable necessarily, but what we can do is create incentives packages that help people do that. But so depending on what kind of incentives or what organizations are involved or where funding is coming from, maybe to subsidize to keep things affordable, I think would impact things like the period of affordability that would stay on different projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Mr. Callen?
I'm going to be voting no against this. I'm just adamantly opposed against ADUs, and I think it's going to lead. I think it's something that Allentown did many years ago, and I think it's going to lead to increased crime and the lowering of housing values in our neighborhoods and the safety of our neighborhoods. So I'll be voting no.
Any other discussion from members of council? Thank you, Ms. Powell. We'll call roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Recuse.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Recuse.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Passes 4-1, the 2 members of council recusing themselves. H.E.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 39, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francie Smith.
Discussion. We'll call roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francie Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passed 7-0.
8H.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 40, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leona and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion. Roll call roll.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kuliatek.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Pass 7-0. 8I.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 41, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion. Ms. Ramsey Smith.
I just have a question. I think it's wonderful we're doing Friendship Park, but I know it's a lot of money, and I'm wondering, how do we earmark this park in particular to do all the improvements? Because there's so many parks without the city that can certainly use them. And I'm just wondering, like, do we look at the census and the number of people that that use this park? I'm just curious as to how this was determined to be the park.
So Friendship Park was identified in the Northside 2017 plan. That was when that park started getting a lot of attention, I think, in that planning process, which involved the school district and neighborhood groups and others, and that's now evolved into the Northside Alive program. And so it was a big priority of that plan. So it's one of the recommendations of the plan that the park be improved based on community feedback and a number of other factors. And that neighborhood is also designated now by HUD as a neighborhood revitalization strategy area, a NRSA designation, which as part of that designation, it is important for us to be directing some funds into that area and being able to show that to maintain that designation. But aside from that, we have also recently talked about the fact that we have a grant now. We're completing a Parks and Recreation Master Plan. I think we had sent probably a memo on that and have talked about it, but I think that planning also gets at a little bit of what you're talking about, is how are we looking citywide. We know we have a lot of great neighborhood assets, a lot of great parks. We've done a lot of work to improve different parks and improve Monocacy Pool and chip away at different things at the parks, but we can also be building on that and looking at for example, like neighborhood networks of parks, right? If you've got a splash pad or a water feature in this park, and in a neighborhood park you don't have that, but you have there something that's for younger folks or a different age demographic, like how do all the parks work together, and how do we look at these things holistically to then decide what's our future plan for where we're next trying to invest dollars? And doing planning like that also helps us secure grant dollars, because part of the reason we were able to get so much money in grant support for Friendship Park was because we had the Northside plan. So we were able to take that plan and show, this is a demonstrated community need, here's the data, here's the community feedback, and that it's always much better to have something like that when you're going for grant funding, because it's more likely to be supported. So this parks plan that we're going to be working on over the next year, it will also serve that purpose more broadly citywide.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Thank you, Ms. Collins. We'll call roll.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kuliatek.
Aye.
Ms. Colon.
Aye. Passes 7-0. EJ.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2024. Bill number 42, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion. Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kuliatek.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to our loan new ordinance.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 43, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Kuliatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. Mr. Callahan.
This is the last piece of the puzzle, correct?
We should give you a chair if that's
necessary. I'm going to shift our papers around. Yes, this is the last piece of the agreement, correct?
Good. I want to thank you for all the work on this and all the prior administrations and councils. This has been, I'm not sure if it started with Mayor Cunningham. I know that when my brother was mayor, they got the first rail trail there. If there was something that started with Mayor Cunningham, I apologize, but this is something that's been going on a long time. It's been piece by piece by piece by many different mayors and many different councils, and it's unbelievable to see this come to a final solution. So I think it's going to be a beautiful thing for the city of Bethel and the whole Lehigh Valley. So thank you for your work on it.
Any other discussion, Ms. Laird?
Yeah, this is incredibly exciting, and even to see just the work in this current piece of the puzzle that has gone into making sure that we didn't need to acquire land that we then were trying to sell immediately or didn't really have any business owning. There's just decades and decades of work by so many by so many people. It's really exciting to see coming to fruition.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Yeah, I just want to add my congratulations and excitement. I think we all know what a wonderful resource this is. The fact that it runs right through the city just increases its access exponentially, and it's really very exciting. So I'm looking forward to voting yes.
Any other discussion? Ms. Leo?
Kind of pile on with how great this is for the city. It's one of those moments on council where it's like we had very little to do with everything that led up to this moment. It's really just super cool to be able to not be the stumbling block before completing a multiple decades long project.
We didn't vote yet. Any other discussion? Ms. Francis Smith?
I'll just add that thanks to everyone in the city that has worked on this, because it's definitely a win-win. I know up in the Jim Thorpe area, they were able to purchase land from the railroad finally to complete the trail, and it has been like unbelievable how many people have been using it and really thrilled with it. So I think this is a real win-win. Thank you.
Any other discussion? I'll just say, again, just piggybacking off what everyone else said, that being able to acquire that last 9/10 of a mile to complete the Greenway, to be able to go from the end of the Fahey Bridge down to Quakertown and everything like that is really going to be something. I mean, a few members of council and I spoke last summer about Saucon Park and just the ability to travel from South Bethlehem through Saucon Park and then now connecting to the rest of the trail system. It's often, I've said before, a lot of these projects, they're a series of kind of data points on a timeline. And now to be able to see this, just like we have other, especially trail projects over the years that were little by little chipped away at, and it's something that I look forward to as a legacy of this is years and decades from now being able to say, hey, I remember when this used to be railroad tracks as we used to go around the south side and things like that. So thank you to everybody that worked so hard on this. I know it wasn't something that just came together overnight. So. Mr. Callan?
I think even Mr. Evans was on council when we voted on a couple of pieces of this, correct?
Yeah, it goes back.
Is that long ago?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Far back.
We're not the Darlene Heller is here also, has been involved in this for quite some time, and Mike Alcock.
Thank you. Ms. Laird, did you have some viewership?
Yeah, just, pointing out that earlier tonight, we also voted on, the capital plan to extend the Monocacy Way path, that last stretch, which would take you to Sand Island, which then takes you to the Greenway, which then goes all the way. I mean, this is awesome. Just wanted to show you.
Thank you, Ms. Laird. Any other input from members of council? We shall call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mrs. Plunk?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to resolutions, 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records in the Law Bureau as set forth in Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion on the resolution? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimes Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passed 7-0. 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller endorse such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Tactical Data Group LLC to develop a communications plan for the city. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kliatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimes Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passed 7-0. 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to allocate $4,844,497.56 in 2024 General Municipal Pension System State Aid line item specified in the resolution. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kliatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion on the resolution? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimes Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passed 7-0. 10D.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute agreement with NTEC Engineering Incorporated to prepare the air quality operating permit renewal application for the city's wastewater treatment plant. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kliatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimes Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passed 7-0. 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce by and through its Downtown Bethlehem Association for the 2024 Christmas City Village. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kliatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimes Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passed 7-0. 10F.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Christy M. Davies for review of Greenway Land Appraisal. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kliatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimes Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passed 7-0. And 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a contract of purchase and sale and related documents with Norfolk Southern Railway Company for the purchase of approximately 11.8 acres to develop a recreational trail connecting existing trails on the Bethlehem Greenway with the Saucon Rail Trail. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kliatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
Please. I was reserving my chance to celebrate about this for this particular agenda item. Congratulations to everybody who has ever had any part of this. It truly is a special special moment, and I'm thrilled to be able to support this agreement of sale. Very excited. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
We'll call roll. Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimes Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passed 7-0. I will accept a motion, then a second, to consider resolutions 10H through 10K as a group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Leon, second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion to consider them as a group? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimes Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Motion passes 7-0. Please read the group.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution. are hereby granted for 20 West Church Street to paint the window shutters in sea serpent, foundation, front porch, and basement double door in polished concrete, and the moldings and bricks in ice cube. For 47 East Market Street to install handrails on the porch steps, to address 38 through 46 East Wall Street to address safety concerns. For 402 North New Street to replace the existing black dimensional shingled porch roof with GAF slate line shingles in gray color. And for 40 East Walnut Street to paint trim and ground floor shutters, shutters on the second through fourth floors, secondary door on Church Street, and the primary entry doors on New Street. Resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion on COAs? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Pass 7-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. Get home safe, everyone. Have a happy Halloween. We'll see you at the parade.